Good morning. Today's Daf and Yavam Muskufia test. We are on the top of the Amud. We're starting with the Mishnah. Here we are in the final parak of the Masechta. This is the 16th parak of the Masechta. It's four blot, so that means to say that we're finishing the Masechta in 4 days. Now, this is going to represent the third parak of the Masechta, which we're going to be discussing. What happens when a woman's husband has passed away and her ability to remarry. Okay, so this was primarily discussed in the 10th parak of the Masechta, and then we picked it up last parak. So exactly what's happening over here, why it is that it's the 10th, 15th, and 16th parakim. Okay, not really sure why we took a little bit of a break from this topic. Okay, regardless, doesn't matter. Anyway, so in the 10th parak and in the 15th parak, and now in the 16th parak, so we're going to be discussing various issues regarding allowing a woman to remarry. This parak over here, today's daf is going to be very general, right? Today will be a shas discussion. So it will be a wider discussion regarding her allowance to remarry, as you will see in just a moment. But then, tomorrow and the day after and the day after, so it's going to be a very graphic discussion. Exactly how is a dead person going to be identified and what signs are necessary in order for identification, and it's good, whatever. It's a detailed discussion regarding what exactly needs to be seen in order to allow this woman to remarry. Okay, as we have gone over already numerous times, but hey, let's do it again because this is really important and it's really basic. And that is that normally for a woman to remarry, so you need shnei edim, so you need two witnesses. Meanwhile, in order to prevent a woman from being an aguna, so therefore, what the chachamim allowed is that even if it's only one witness, and even if that one witness isn't a kosher witness, nevertheless, she can remarry. Okay, she will have the allowance to remarry so that she does not remain in aguna. How does that work? How does the chachamim allow one witness to testify? Okay, good. The Gemara asked this question already a number of times. The Gemara basically boils down to two answers. One answer is that Eid Echad is Naman over here. Why? Because it's Milsa David de Ligluye. This is something where the one witness is going to testify, and soon enough we're going to know whether or not he's telling the truth or not telling the truth. In other words, the information will come out. He's just providing it right now a little bit early. But because it's Milsa David de Ligluye, it's going to strengthen his Namanus. That's one way to say it. The other way to say it is that Isha Daiko Minsava. Is that now that she has one witness telling her that her husband died, so she's going to do due diligence. She will do an investigation on her own in order to confirm and corroborate this information that was given to her by this one witness. Good. Those are the two basic svaras that the Gemara gives already on a number of occasions, why it is that we are ready to believe this one witness. Okay, so why are we discussing this now for a third parak? Because there are various aspects of it that have yet to be discussed, and so our Mishnah is going to pick it up, and our Mishnah is going to cover it. The name of the perek, Isha Basra. It's the last Isha. It's the last woman. Okay, so why is the perek called the last woman? Because we have a number of prakim that are called a Isha. In other words, the 10th perek, where we discussed this at length, so that was Aisha Rabba, right? The large woman. But not to be taken literally. It just simply means that the majority of the topic is discussed in the 10th parak. Rabbah, it's really big. It's a big parak that discusses most of it. The parak that we just covered, that's the Isha Shalom, right? Because as we learned in the previous parak, we talked about where there was matrimonial harmony. There was peace in the relationship. Where under those circumstances, where she comes back and she self-reports, you're allowed to believe her. It has to be peace between her and her husband. It has to be shalom ba'olam. Anyway, so the previous parak was called the Isha Shalom. And now this parak, entitled Ha'isha Basra. It's just a way of demarcating which prakim is which. This is the last woman, meaning this is the last parak that discusses this issue. Ha'isha shalach ba'olam v'tzaras l'midin ha'sayam. So, what happened? So your husband went away, and who did he take with her? He took with him the other wife. Okay? So, of course, it's a funny sentence, but back in the day, when men were married to more than one woman, it's not a funny sentence. In fact, I'm sure the woman that stayed home, I'm sure she wasn't happy. Okay, they're called co-wives for a reason, as we have already discussed numerous times. The co-wives are called saros because of the natural animosity intention that exists amongst the co-wives. Okay, I made this point before. You've heard me say this before. Look at any situation of co-wives in the Torah, and you could just see it. In other words, you could see the the resentment and the bitterness that they have towards one another. Okay, and it's a little bit strange that the Torah allows for it, and meanwhile, it's not always smooth sailing. Okay, anyway, so the husband went away, and he took his other wife with him, and now Haisha Shalach Bala Vitzaras Medinas Yam Ubal VaAmar La, and they come back in the report. Now the Mishnah uses the lashon of Ubau VaAmaru. They came back and they reported two witnesses. So again, at this point in time, we all know that when the Mishnah, even when describing one witness, always uses the Lashon Rabbim. So it can be one witness that's coming and reporting. That's not the point of the Mishnah. So what is the point of the Mishnah? So, and Ve'amr la meis balech, lo sinase ve'lo sis yabem, ashetet Hashem uberes, hi tzarasa. Here's the problem. The problem is that right now, as your husband went away together with the other wife, so there was no children. And so at that point in time when they went away, what chazaka were you in? You were set, you were primed at that point in time for Yibum. In other words, you just had a husband. You at this point in time have no children, so you were primed for Yibum. Now the problem is that when they came back and they reported that the husband died, but he had a wife with him. So it could be, there is a chance that they had a child while they were away. We don't know how long they were away for. It seems to be an important piece of information. We're going to assume right now that they were away for a while. Okay, there is a chance that they had a child. So, so you can't marry because at this point in time, you may have a Zika connecting you to your Yavam. On the other hand, you also can't do Yibum because there may have been a child. And if in fact there was a child, there's no mitzvah Yibum. And remember, when there's no mitzvah of Yibum, what does that mean? The only thing that's left at that point in time is an Isser of Eshesach. So, until you learn something, so you can't marry, nor can you do Yibum. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Why not just do Chalitza and be done with it? Hold that thought, we're going to come back to that. Haisa lachamos. Now, let's say who also went away. Let's say the mother-in-law also went away with them. Now, let's assume not just your mother-in-law, but your father-in-law as well. And so your mother-in-law went away as well. And when they left, so it was just one son, meaning your husband. But it's possible, this one's more unlikely, but it's certainly possible that while they're away, your mother-in-law produced another child, giving you what? Giving you a brother-in-law. So now, eina chosheshes. At this point in time, this is not a concern. This is not something you have to be concerned with. However, what if the mother-in-law went away pregnant? So at that point in time, you have to be concerned. And Rabbi Yoshua Amreinu Choshesh, and Rabbi Yoshua says, no, you don't need to be concerned. Okay, now let's just go over Rashi's point over here. It's an important point. Okay, when your co-wife went away together with your husband, and so the Mishnah says that you have to be concerned. Of course, you have to be concerned. As Rashi explains, because whatever child they're going to produce is in fact going to create an issue. Meaning, remember, right now they left you're childless, and they were childless as well. Meaning, your husband has not yet had a child. Now, when they left, you were in a chazaka of needing to do yibum. Now what's going to pot you from yibum? Any kind of child, doesn't matter what they have, whether they have a boy, whether they have a girl, doesn't matter. So any child that they're going to have is going to exempt you from Yibum. And again, it's going to create a problem. Because again, in the absence of Yibum, there's an Isser of Eshesach. But when your mother-in-law goes away, so what child is she going to have is going to present an issue? Only a son, not a daughter. Because again, what your mother-in-law is producing, if she's going to produce something that's going to create a problem, it's only going to be a male child. Right? A female child is not going to be a brother there's now going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. And as we're going to be discussing momentarily, what are we looking at over here? So this is a 50-50, right? Not exactly. Because not every pregnancy results in a child. Some pregnancies, unfortunately, do not go to term. Some pregnancies are miscarried. So again, not knowing numbers, I'm just throwing numbers out just so that we can, that we could discuss and talk about it. Let's say 10% ends in a miscarriage. Again, my numbers are made up. It doesn't matter. The point is still going to be the same point. So if 10% now are of pregnancies end in a miscarriage, so now what are the chances that your mother-in-law is going to have a son? So it's less than 50%, meaning of the 90% success. So then break that down to 45-45. So the point is that it's less than 50%. So now there's a less than 50% chance that what your mother-in-law is going to have is going to create a problem. So then you don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned if it's less than 50% because that's not a rov. That's what's called a miut. Now, granted, by the way, the numbers I just made up, it's a significant miut. It's 45%. But still, when all said and done, it's a miut. Okay. So what we have now in the Mishnah is that if your husband and co-wife went away and you learned about his death and you don't know whether or not your co-wife got pregnant or did not get pregnant, so the Mishnah said for your co-wife, you need to be worried that maybe she did. But if your mother-in-law went away with them, so then then you don't have to worry whether or not she got pregnant. And if she left pregnant, meaning your mother-in-law, if your mother-in-law left pregnant, machlokas tanayim, between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yoshua. Tanakam says if your mother-in-law left pregnant, so then you do have to be concerned. And Rabbi Yoshua says you don't need to be concerned. Okay. My hitzarasa. So the language of the Mishnah added seemingly one unnecessary word. And you know, we've gone through Baruch Hashem, we've gone through a lot of Gemara together. So you know, one unnecessary word, the Gemara is going to sit on it. So it says, I don't need to be concerned, meaning my husband and the other wife went away. I don't need to be concerned that she got pregnant. What do you mean that she got pregnant? Who else is there? So the Gemara says, HaKamash Malan, Lahatzarahu Dechayshinan, Avalatzarachit Alo Chayshinan. In other words, in the first case of the Mishnah, yes, you have to be concerned that your co-wife got pregnant, but here's what you don't have to entertain. There's no need to entertain that while he was away, he picked up another wife. Okay? Meaning it certainly could happen, but that's not something that halachically I need to be concerned about. Good. Continuing. So Bishlama Yivumalo Didoma Mabrava Kapagabeshachta Raisa. Okay. So here's what I understand. I understand, again, we're going back to the case of the Mishnah in which the husband went away together with the co-wife, and now you discover about the death of the husband, and now here's what you can't do. So you cannot do Yibam. Again, you can't do Yibam, even though when he went away, there was no children, and you were primed for the mitzvah of Yibam, but again, there's a possibility that they had a child. Once they have a child, so that's going to create an exemption for the mitzvah of Yibam. An exemption for the mitzvah of Yibam means that your brother-in-law to you now is an erva. So that part I get. But ela lo sinase amai. So the Gemara says, but here's the part I don't understand. Why, once you learn that your husband died, why can't you just simply marry another man? Meaning, what's the concern right now? When they left, was there a child? The answer is no. So, is there a chance that they had a child? That they had a child? Yes. Now, this part's going to sound a little bit strange. What kind of chance did they have that they had a child? Now, I know that's an open-ended question, and we really don't know the answer to that. The Gemara is going to assume right now, and for the rest of today, that there's a good chance that they had a child. Okay? I know it's kind of hard to put that into any kind of terminology, a good chance they had a child, but the Gemara is assuming that there's a good chance. So, halach acharov nashim v'rov nashim mit abra v'yoldos. Okay, and the Gemara, the way the Gemara phrases it, you know what? Better than 50% chance that they had a child. In other words, your co-wife was of a childbearing age, and she and her husband were away together. Okay. So, obviously, we're going to be working with the Gemara's assumptions. So, the Gemara says that there's a better than 50% chance that she got pregnant and had a child. So, better than 50% chance. So, now, what does the majority tell us? The majority tells us that they had a child. And if they had a child, so now what does that mean regarding you and the mitzvah of Yibum? It means that you don't have the mitzvah of Yibum. Again, statistically speaking, there's a better than 50% chance that you don't have the mitzvah of Yibum. So no, so go ahead and marry somebody else. So lema remeir dechai shel miyuta. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that maybe our Mishnah is going like Shitas Reb Meir. Through our chas, and today's daf is going to be one of those dapim where we discuss it in more detail. Through our chas, Reb Meir is concerned about the minority position. Right in the opening page of Yuma, we discussed this in detail. So here now, towards the end of Yevamos, Kuf Yotes, today's daf, so we're going to be discussing it again in some more detail. Rameir is concerned about the minority position. as such. So that means to say now that maybe our Mishnah is following the Shita of Meir. And that's why you can't, you meaning the surviving wife over here, cannot just simply marry another man. The chances are good that your husband and your co-wife had a child. Okay, they're good. But there's also a minority chance that they didn't have a child. And our Mishnah subscribes to the Shita of Meir, who's Choshish Lemiyuta. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tem Rabban Nekazel Rabban Abasa Ruba Ruba Disa Kaman Kigon Teisha Chani Osu Visan Hedre Avaruba Delesa Kaman Loasa Rabban Abasa Ruba." Ah, the Gemara says, "Maybe not. Maybe our Mishnah is also going like the Shita of the Chachamim as well." And here we're going to take a trip down memory lane, or if you want, we can go to the other side, and we're going to see this now. It's just a short 3 years from now, approximately, and that is the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, Staf Yud Aleph, and Staf Yud Beis in Chulin. And the Gemara in Chulin discusses the concept of Rov in broad terms. Meaning the Gemara over there asks a really simple question. How do I know about this idea of Rov, that we follow the majority? To which the Gemara's original response over there is, how do I know about Rov? Open up a Chumash and read the Pesukim inside. Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We follow the majority. How do I know about Rov? What kind of silly question is that? To which the Gemara over there says, yeah, you're right. I know about Rov, what's called Ruba di Isa Kaman, where everything's in front of me. All the information's in front of me right now. Let's say, for example, Sanhedrin. Okay, how does the Sanhedrin work? So if it's a Sanhedrin of 23, so what we're going to do is we're going to count votes, right? There's going to be an issue over here. If it's 23, it means it's a capital case. So there's an issue facing us right now. The Sanhedrin's going to vote, and we count up votes. 12 say innocent, 11 say guilty. So the person's innocent. That's Ruba de Isa Kaman. Everything is right in front of me right now, and I'm counting it up. The other example is 9 stories. I'm not going to go through the example right now. Anyway, Ruba de Isa Kaman. That's what the Torah is describing. But the Gemara says, but how do I know about Ruba de Lesa Kaman? What's Ruba de Lesa Kaman? It's the Rov that we're much more familiar with. It's the Rov of statistics and majority. Okay? In other words, we don't have all the information in front of us, but we have statistics. And we're going to use statistical analysis in order to establish a halacha. Right? Most of the time, this is what's going to be the result, right? The Gemara over there, one of the cases, the Gemara over there discusses many cases, but one of the cases discusses the following, right? You shecht an animal, and after you shecht the animal, what do? You eat the animal. Okay, good, delicious. Okay, any time that there's a perforation in one of the organs of the animal's a trefa. Okay, so do I have to go and check every part of the animal? No, I don't. In fact, we check almost none of the animal after you check the animal. Why? Because statistically speaking, the animal is not a trefa. Okay, so Minhag Yisrael now for years has been that we check the lungs. Okay, for a different time to discuss why it is, but we do. We check the lungs. Okay, but after that, we don't check anything else. We don't check out any other organ whatsoever in order to make sure that the animal is not a trefa. Now, what kind of rov is that? That's statistical. Meaning, since the majority of animals are not a trefa, I don't need to check this animal. That's what's called the Ruba de Lesa Kaman. The Gemara in Chulin wants to know, what's the source for Ruba de Lesa Kaman? Now, interestingly over there, right, I just went over the conclusion before the daf. Interestingly over there, the Gemara does not land on a particular source of Ruba de Lesa Kaman. And there's a really important Rashi over there, where Rashi tries to fill in the blank of the Gemara. How do I know about Ruba de Lesa Kaman? Okay, and now I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now as well. Anyway, what do we need to know? What we need to know in order to navigate the daf is that there are two types of rov. The Ruba de Isa Kaman, Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Ruba de Isa Kaman, that's Sanhedrin. That's Acharei Rabim Lahatos. All right, everyone agrees to that. It's Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Here's what with the Gemara right now, our Gemara right here is entertaining. And that is that when Rameir is Choshesh Lemiyut, that is not just the Shita Rameir, it's also the Chachamim when discussing a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. A statistical majority, the Gemara right now is entertaining that even the Chachamim is worried about a minority. So what the Gemara is implying is that Ruba de Lesa Kaman is not as strong as a Ruba de Isa Kaman. Okay? And I know we can equivocate on this issue for a really long time. Obviously, this is a daf. We're going to go ahead. But this is what the Gemara is assuming right now. To which the Gemara says, V'arei katan v'ketana deruba delesa kamanhu, V'azir rabban abasa rov detanya. The Gemara says, look, it's a nice suggestion, it's just not right. It's not correct. Meaning that the Chachamim are not worried about a miut. Not by Ruba de Issa Kaman, and not even by Ruba de Lesa Kaman. How do I know that? The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. According to Rav Meir, let's say that the surviving brother and sister-in-law, the brother-in-law, sister-in-law, are minors. So Rav Meir says, here's the story. And that is, don't do chalitza, don't do yibum. Why? So, I'm sorry, Amar Lola Rav Meir, we're going to get to the wine in just a moment. Amar Lola Rav Meir, Yafa Amar Shein Cholzen, Ish Ksiv Beparsha Makshin, Isha Leish. So, Ela my time Ein Miyamim. So, as far as chalitza is concerned, so very good, Rav Meir, we agree with you. Meaning, we have a drasha that only an adult can do chalitza, not a child. Okay, that part we got. But why not do yibum? Meaning, yibum can be done even by minors, yibum can be done. So the Gemara says, "Amar lahem kadin shema matzah sris and ketana shema timatzi ilonis v'nimsa pogin ve'erva." Rav Meir says, "Look, I know it's not a good. I know the chances are not high, but there is a chance. Yesh shikui that the girl is an ilonis and just we don't know yet simply because she's not yet matured and developed, and the boy may be a sris. Now again, chances are low, but there's a chance." And since there's a chance, I'm worried about it. Because what do we know? We know the halacha is that if he's an islandess, alternatively, if she's a sris, then there's no mitzvah yibum. If there's no mitzvah yibum, so then what are we looking at? We're just looking at an iser kares. So Rameir is concerned about the minority. And what do the chachamim feel about such a scenario? V'rabban and savri zil basa ruba diktanim. V'rav ketanim la sris ininu. Zil basa rav ketanos. V'rav ketanos lav islandess ininu. And the Chachamim are going to say, look, that's a very small chance. And the majority of boys grow up to become natsurisim, meaning they're potent. They're able to father children. And the majority of girls grow up to become not islandis. So over here, we're going to go on the majority. And this majority over here, what kind of majority is it? Clearly, this is what's called a ruba de lesa kaman. This is all based on statistics. The vast majority of children, when they grow up, so he'll be potent and she'll be able to carry a child. So what do I see? I see that the Chachamim are arguing with Rav Meir, not only by Ruba de Issa Kaman, even by Ruba de Lesa Kaman. We follow Rav. We're not concerned about the miut. So the Gemara says, Ela Mechvarta Masisin Rav Meir Hi. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. So here's what you're going to have to say, and that is our Mishnah is in fact following the Shita Rav Meir, where we're concerned about a minority. I, according to the Chachamim, I'm not concerned about a minority. Good. Our Mishnah is not following like the Chachamim. Our Mishnah is, in fact, going like the Shita of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, okay. So our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. So again, let's just quickly clarify. The first part of the Mishnah is where your husband and the co-wife went away. And now what are we saying? That if you learn about the death of the husband, now I have to be concerned. Concerned about what? Well, there's a good chance that they had a child while they were away. Now, I know that, again, I know that sounds strange. As I say it, I'm hearing myself, I know it sounds strange. But that's the assumption of the Gemara. There's a good chance they had a child while they were away. So if they had a child while they were away, so no. So that means you're a free woman. In other words, there's either Rachmanis, you're a widow. And on top of that, you don't have a Zika. Because your husband did, in fact, have a child. So there's a good chance. But our Mishnah says you can't remarry without learning more information. And the reason why is because our Mishnah is following like the Shita Rav Meir, who's Choshesh Lemiyuta. Okay, that's where we're landed in terms of understanding our Mishnah. The Gemara says, that's all well and good. How about we go to the next case of the Mishnah? Ema Seifa. So now we're going to the next case of the Mishnah. Haisalach Hamos and Choshesh. So let's say you have a mother-in-law who also went away with them. Don't be concerned. Amai Alachacha Rav Nashim, Rav Nashim Esabros V'Yaldos. So miut mapilos v'chol ayodos mechza zechar mechza nekevos. Smoch miuta de mapilos mechza nekevos. V'avalu zechar miuta. So the Gemara says, okay, so what if your mother-in-law did in fact have a child, so when is it going to become an issue? Only she had a son. What are the chances of her having a son? So we did this back in the Mishnah, right? Go back to our Mishnah and my explanation in the Mishnah, but it's less than a 50% chance that she had a viable boy. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember what you said. You said our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. So even though it's less than 50%, but Rav Meir's choshish lemiyuta. That means now that this woman is going to be stuck. This woman left behind. So now We don't know. Maybe there was a mitzvah of Yibum, because maybe her mother-in-law did have a child. Now, yes, it's true. It has to be a boy. And yes, it's true. There's a less than 0.5% chance, a less than 50% chance that she had a viable boy. But if our mishnah is going like Rav Meir, we have to be concerned about that. So the Gemara says, V'leichush, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. So Dilma came to Achzek Lushuk Lo Chayish. So the Gemara says, okay, well, when they left, when your husband and the co-wife and the mother-in-law all went away, so at that point in time, what was your chazaka? The presumed state that you're in right now is there are no children and there are no brothers. And therefore, you are Marteres Lushuk. So basically what we have over here is a chazaka. The chazaka tells us that you can marry somebody else. So Gemara says, Reisha, Dechlik Liyubam Tiabeim. So the Gemara says, okay, so chazaka really becomes a critical determinant. So let's go back to the first case in the Mishnah. In the first case in the Mishnah, so your husband went away together with the co-wife, the other co-wife, and at that point in time there were no children. If there are no children, you had a chazaka that you needed to do Yibum if in fact your husband died. So you're telling me the chazaka is a big deal? It wasn't a big deal in the Reisha. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav Abravu, a Reisha Desokaritz Chashashu, Sefer Desolav Lo Chashashu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the Reisha, what are we concerned about? That there, that you'll be Pogea Be'erva, meaning it's an Isser Kares. But in the second half of the Mishnah, we're talking about a potential Isser of Yevam Lashuk. It's a Lav in the Torah, but it's not an Isser Kares. And maybe Rav Meir's concern in the first case of the Mishnah when it may lead to an Isser Kares. But in the second case of the Mishnah where it's only a Lav, Yevam Lashuk is only a Lav, so maybe he's not concerned. To which the Gemara almost loses its mind. I'm a Rav Michli, Hadaraisa, Mali Isser Kares, Mali Isser Lav. I don't understand. If we're comparing and contrasting an Isser Daraisa and Isser Darabanan, okay, maybe we can entertain this discussion. In fact, Rashi says exactly that point. But over here, we're talking about Isser Daraisa versus an Isser Daraisa. Okay, the punishment for one is harsher than the other. But we're talking about Nisar Daraisa. And you're telling me now that because it's only a Lav and not Nisar Kares, so we can put our guard down and not be worried about, and our mishnah following the Sheet of Rameir, not be concerned about a Miyut because it's not as severe in Nisar Daraisa? What does that even mean? It's an Nisar Daraisa. So the Gemara says, Elam Arava. So Rava says, okay, so here's how I'm going to make a distinction between the first and second half of the Mishnah, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis. Reisha Chazaka Liyibum. Veruba Lashuk. Okay, so, in the Reisha, what do I have? I have the following tension. Again, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, her husband went away together with the other wife, and now, at that point in time, freeze frame the moment. Okay, what's Rove going to tell me? Rove is going to tell me that most likely they're going to have a child, which means then that you don't have a mitzvah of Yibum. What's Chazaka going to tell me? Chazaka means what's your presumed state as they left. As they left, the Chazaka is that there was no children, and therefore you had a Zika for Yibum. So Rov and Chazaka now are pointing to two different directions. So Ruba so Chazaka li Yibum and Rov l'shuk. The Chazaka lo adif ki Ruba. Now, when I have a clash between Rov and Chazaka, what wins? So this is also the Gemara in Chulin. Rov beats Chazaka. Good. Now, v'aisa miyuta de ma'apilo smoch l'chazaka, v'av le'palga palga. Ah. But remember, our mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the miyut, even though it's a minority, it's something I have to be concerned about. So according to Rabbi Meir, here's what you do. You take that miyut. Now, what's the miyut telling me? The miyut tells me that there is a small chance that there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Now, because again, there's a small chance that your husband and his other wife did not have a child. That's a minority. But, according to Rav Meir, that's significant. What I do is I take the miyut, I couple it together with the chazaka, because again, the chazaka also tells me that there's a mitzvah of Yibum. And so now I have the miyut coupled with the chazaka against the rov. So what does that do? That creates a stalemate. That's what the Gemara describes as palga upalga. So lo sinase v'lo sisyabim. That's why the Mishnah says she's going to get stuck. However, seifa. But now let's go to the second half of the Mishnah. Again, what happened? So your husband went away and your mother-in-law went away as well. Okay, now, what's Rov telling me? Rov is telling me that your mother, your the Velotis Yabin. Sefer Chazaka Lashuk, Veruba Lashuk. So the Chazaka, let's start with Chazaka, because that's easy. What's the Chazaka telling me as everyone went away? Well, what the Chazaka is telling me is that your husband went away with no children. Okay? And so and therefore, Chazaka would tell me that you don't have a mitzvah of Yibum. Let me do that again. Let me do it better and correctly. Well, your husband went away with no brothers. Okay. So Chazaka tells me now that there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum because you have no brothers. The mother-in-law went away as well. Okay, but right now we're focusing on the Chazaka. Chazaka tells me that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. What's Rove going to tell me? Now, there's a really good chance that the mother-in-law is going to have a child, but there's also a really good chance that your husband also is going to have a child as well. Remember, he took his other co-wife with him. So now the Rove is going to tell me also that there's no mitzvah of Yibum, but rather that she's allowed to marry, out. So Vahavile Zacharim Miuta. Now, what's the only thing that's going to create a problem? And that is if your mother-in-law had a child, but not just any child, specifically a male child. Now that's a miut. So de miuta lo chayish Rav Meir. This is what the Gemara describes as miuta de miuta. Okay, now, here's what is not the pshat in the Gemara. It's not that when the Gemara says miuta de miuta, it means it's such a small minority. No, that's not true. Meaning the mother-in-law having a child is not a small minority. But the point is as follows. If both Chazak and Rov are pointing in the same direction, and the miut now is running counter to that, that's what the Gemara describes as miuta de miuta. Meaning the miut is running against the Rov. It always runs against the Rov. That's by very definition. And it's also running against the Chazaka as well. So when the miut is running downstream, both against the Rov and against the Chazaka, Rav Meir says under those circumstances, then what we get to do is we get to disregard the miut. Okay. So that's the distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, the miut and the Chazaka, the Rov and the Chazaka are going in two different directions, and the miut is running together with the Chazaka. So according to Rav Meir, palgo palga, it's a stalemate. But in the second half of the Mishnah, Rov and Chazaka are both pointing in the same direction. The miut runs against both of them. Then even Rav Meir will tell you, I can go ahead and I can ignore the miut. Okay, good. Where are we right now? That first sugya was a big sugya and a little bit complicated, but a really big sugya in terms of how does Rav Meir adjudicate miut? When he says that he's choshish lemiut, is that always true? And what we learned together is no, it's not always true. The only time that Rav Meir is going to be concerned about a miut is that when the miut is going to be bolstered by a chazaka. But if the chazaka is running counter to the miut, i.e. the chazaka is running in the direction of the rov, even Rav Meir at that point in time is not going to be concerned about a miut. Okay. Next, los nasav los yabim. What did the Mishnah teach us? That when the husband goes away with the other wife, with the other co-wife, so now what happens is that you receive news that your husband died. Did the other co-wife have a child? We don't know, and therefore you're stuck. You can't do the mitzvah of Yibum because maybe they didn't have a child, but you also can't marry somebody else because maybe they did have a child, and so therefore you're stuck. Now, Ula Olam, the Gemara asks a simple question over here. Really, permanently, you're going to be stuck? That's very hard to understand. So Amri Ziri Latzma Shal Shachadashim Lechaver Tatisha V'cholatzis Miman Avshach. So Rabbi Ziri says, no, you're not stuck forever. In fact, what you'll do is you wait 9 months. The lashon of the Gemara is a little bit strange over here. La'atzma shlosha and lechaver tatisha. But again, just to simplify, what the Gemara means basically is that you're going to wait 9 months, and then after 9 months you'll do chalitza. Because what is chalitza going to do? It'll cover you. Meaning, was there a mitzvah of yibum? Maybe. So, and we don't know. Again, it all is going to be dependent on whether or not your husband and the other co-wife are going to have children while they were away. We don't know. So if they had a child, so there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And the chalitza was meaningless. And if they didn't have a child, well, chalitza resolves that. Because that means there's a zika, but the chalitza resolves the zika. So the chalitza now will become the solution. That's according to Ziri. Makes sense. Here's the problem. Not a problem, but the counter argument. Rabbi Chanina Amar La'atzma Shoshel L'chaverto La'ola. Now, she is going to be stuck forever. In other words, chalitza for her won't be a solution. Why not? So v'tachlos mimanavshach. The Gemara wants to know exactly why. Yeah, exactly that. Why? Yeah, why not? So the Gemara's response: Abayi baravin, Rabbi Chanina baravin, Amri tarvayu gzerus shami yehi vlad ben kayama v'nimtza atam matzricha kruz lekahuna. So here's the unfortunate problem. The unfortunate problem now is that let's say chalitza was done again as a security, meaning again was there a requirement? Maybe yes, maybe no. So chalitza will be done, and then maybe post chalitza, what happens is the following, right? The co-wife did eventually come back. We asked her a couple of very easy questions. Did you have a child while you and your husband were away before he died? And her answer was, yes, we had a child. Oh. So now what comes out is that the chalitza that was done was totally unnecessary, perfectly unnecessary. Okay, and so what? Here's the problem. The problem is that now we're going to make a proclamation. And we're going to announce that this woman over here, despite the fact that chalitza was done to her, it was a non-chalitza chalitza. It was a non-event. And therefore, she's allowed to marry a kohen. Okay, so the Gemara is good. So now, what's the problem? So v'nimtza tamachrusa kruz l'kahuna. So you're going to need to make an announcement regarding her. So v'litzricha. So the Gemara says, okay. So new. So make an announcement. So the Gemara says, dilma ika dahave bechalitza v'lahave beachraza v'amri kasher chalitza l'kohen. And so the Gemara says, well, people will be there for the chalitza. The chalitza was a real event. As far as the clarification, the post chalitza clarification, maybe people are not there for that. Meaning that wasn't an event. It's just simply, it's an attempt to tell everybody that she didn't really need the chalitza. And now what's going to happen is that when she marries a kohen, so the neighbors are going to think to themselves, wow, that's really strange. We were there at the chalitza. We remember she's doing chalitza. And now she's married to a kohen. We're not following. And so it will lead to the erroneous conclusion that a chalitza is allowed to marry a kohen. And so for that, the Chachamim were very sensitive for people walking away with erroneous conclusions. And yes, the consequences of that over here are drastic. Meaning that because of this concern of people walking away with erroneous conclusions, so therefore she will not be able to remarry permanently. And yes, it's definitely a real challenge that because of this issue, which is obviously a really serious issue, of having people walk away with erroneous and false conclusions of what the halacha is, so therefore she can't go ahead and get remarried. It's all right. So your question is excellent. The Gemara is not going to ask your question, but when we get to the end of the Gemara's discussion, so partial your answer, your question will be partially answered. But I'm telling you right now, I don't have a good answer. In other words, I won't be able to really satisfy the question. So the Tanan we learned in the Mishnah, Nitan li ben b'mindinas yam v'amar la'meis b'ni v'achakach ba'li ne'menes meis ba'li v'achakach b'ni enu ne'menes v'choshishin l'dvara v'choleset v'lo misya b'emes. So we go back to the previous parak. We just did this Gemara in yesterday's daf. And again, she comes back after a trip with her husband and when she left, she was not in a state of having to do yibum. And then she goes back and she says that that I did have a child, but let me assure everybody in terms of what the order of the death was. First my child died, and then my husband died. Meaning that first my husband died, then my child died. So then I don't have a mitzvah of yibum. So if she left and we already knew she had a child, so then she's not ne'emenes. Okay. So and therefore she's going to have to do chalitza. Okay. Good. Again, we did all this yesterday. The Gemara says, okay. Again, once you're worried about erroneous conclusions, so let's say the following. Let's say that everything came out exactly as she stated, which means what? That the chalitza was a non-event, meaning she was right. She didn't need chalitza. So now, why not be concerned that now it would require a post-Chalitza proclamation, and she's going to marry a Kohen, and people are not there for the proclamation, and people won't know that, right? That's strange. The Chalitza married the Kohen. What's going on over here? So Amar Papa Begrusha. So So Rav Papa says, you know what that case is describing? Where she previously was a divorcee. So therefore, she's never going to be able to marry a Kohen because she previously was a divorcee. Now, Hedy, this kind of responds to you, meaning that in an event where she can't marry a Kohen, so then we're not concerned. Okay, so then it begs your question, meaning can't she put herself in a position where she's not going to marry a Kohen? Let's say she'll make a neder. Anyway, that's one response to the Gemara. And Rav Chia Bereid, Rav Huna, Amar, Ba'amra, Ani V'hu, Nichbena B'ma'ara. Alternatively, maybe the case over there is that she says that her and her husband were in a ma'ara, they were in a cave together. Now, I know that's really strange. As a result of that, Rashi writes over here, U'bini u'vali nechbana b'ma'ara ve'ein ish iman alavo la'id. Listen, none of this is verifiable. Meaning, we were away and we were alone. So everything I'm telling you right now is perfectly unverifiable. And therefore, hilkach lecha lemechash doma asis sahadeh. I don't have to be worried or concerned that subsequently witnesses are going to come because witnesses are not going to come. Again, it's difficult. It's challenging. Meaning, we're not going to give her full credibility about the events that transpired. But in terms of the circumstances of, oh, don't worry. No one's going to ever validate this because we were secluded. On that point, we're going to believe her. Okay. So the Gemara is admittedly a little bit challenging to understand, or less, I'll say it better. I don't fully understand the Gemara as of yet. Okay, but hopefully one day I will. But meanwhile, that's why the Mishnah of the previous Perek is not concerned about this issue of after the Chalitza is done, there's going to need a proclamation. And then with the proclamation, so people are going to walk away with erroneous conclusions of Halacha. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here tomorrow. We're going to pick it up with the Mishnah. Okay, let's quickly recap. What do we see so far today? We opened up the last final Perek of the Masechta. So we talked about a woman whose husband went away. This is now the third perek in which we're discussing it. But the detail, the nuance that we're discussing in our perek is that he went away with the other wife. So he took the other wife with him. And now questions of maybe they had a child while they were away. In other words, your co-wife was in childbearing years. So there's a chance that they had a child while they were away. Is that a concern? The Mishnah said, yes, absolutely that's a concern. To what degree is that a concern? So that's what we discussed over the course of today's daf. Chances are good that they had a child. And therefore, if they had a child, that means now that there's no mitzvah of yibum and you are muteres l'shuk. But there's also a chance they didn't have a child, which means then that there's a zika. So what did the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah told us that because we can go in either direction, so you can't do yibum, but you also can't marry somebody else. Okay, so the first discussion that we had in today's daf, which covered most of today's daf, is which is more likely, that your husband and her co-wife had a child, didn't have a child? I know this sounds strange, but the entire Gemara is premised on the fact that better than 50% they had a child. So if that's true, so then why can't you marry somebody else now? You're Muteres L'shuk. So the Gemara says, because our mission is going like Rav Meir, who's Choshesh L'miyuta, and what we discussed today is that the Shita Rav Meir, that you're Choshesh L'miyuta, so first of all, that's a general Shas discussion. And secondly, once we establish our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, so then explain the second half of the Mishnah. In the second half of the Mishnah, there's also a miut over there, seemingly an ignored miut. So why in the second half of the Mishnah, if our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, do we have an ignored miut? And the answer, just to quickly summarize, is that you have to take into consideration the Rov and the Chazaka. If the miut is going in the direction of the Chazaka against the Rov, Rav Meir will tell you, I'm Choshesh L'miyuta. If the miut is going against both the Rov and the Chazaka, so then we don't take the miut into consideration. That's the Gemara's conclusion regarding Rav Meir Shita of Choshesh L'miyuta. And then the final discussion we had in today's daf is that in the circumstance in which the husband went away, and we don't know whether he had a child with the other wife, yes or no, so there really is no solution, why not allow her to do Chalitza? One opinion is that she could do Chalitza. 9 months later, she'll do Chalitza. The other opinion is that she can't do Chalitza. Why? Because what may end up happening is that after Chalitza, we'll discover that Chalitza was unnecessary. We're going to need a proclamation that Chalitza was unnecessary, and not everyone's going to be there for the proclamation. And it would lead to the erroneous conclusion that a Chalitza, because she's a perceived Chalitza, is allowed to marry a Kohen. And for that, the Chachamim were concerned, And therefore, the other opinion in the Gemara is that there simply is not going to be a solution for her.